Father, we praise you for your faithfulness. We praise you for the faith of your only begotten, which makes us right with you. Renew us, Lord. Make us people of faith. By your Spirit, by your grace, may we live by faith. May we walk by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just to refresh us, we've been talking about how it's alive this week. The whole thing, all that God has created. The angelic order, very involved with our lives today, with what's going on all around us. Some in utter rebellion. All of nature is alive, not just the hills are alive, like Julie Andrews sang. Not just with music, but everything is alive. Nature does have a voice. The elements do have a spiritual dimension, spiritual reality. The hills are alive, and so is everything else. Yesterday was the Feast of the Epiphany, and I like to start there. I think it's a good place to start. It's one of the loveliest stories. Magi. Pagan philosophers saw his star in the east and set out on an arduous journey, brought him rich gifts, brought him their best. And here we begin to get the fulfillment of Isaiah, what Isaiah said in 49:6, it's just too small a thing to restore the house of Israel. But what the Lord had in mind was giving light to all the nations. And salvation going to the utter ends of the earth. I have an idea that the Magi probably are in that cloud of witnesses. We don't know that. But I think that the spirit of the list, this catalog of people, is a pretty inclusive thing. I think it includes people that aren't actually listed there. I think the writer just kind of ran out of room in the chapter. My daddy, Ford Harris, wasn't even born yet, and I know he's in there. The cloud of witnesses that we just heard about. Don't you just love even the sound of the phrase, the cloud of witnesses? I mean, the modern technology, you talk about various kinds of clouds that we participate in now with in cyberspace. They had nothing on the ancients, nothing on Scripture, nothing on Revelation. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And some things, some people included, some of the names included in that cavalcade, that catalog of the faithful, don't really surprise us. It makes sense to me that Abraham and Sarah are in that group. Yeah, they made some stupid, bad choices. And people are still living to pay the price, but they're heroes to us. It doesn't surprise me that Enoch is in that group. It doesn't surprise me that Moses is in that group. The great leader of the Exodus, the receiver of the law. And you know, even though the pilgrim people, once they were out moving through the wilderness and headed towards the promised land, even though they were doubters, even though they were complainers, it really doesn't surprise me completely that they're mentioned among the catalog of the faithful. I love it too that Moses' parents are included. But you know what? We really don't expect a Rahab. We probably should because we already tipped off she's in the genealogy of Jesus in the Gospels. But a prostitute? Really? We might get there on the other side and find out she was only an innkeeper, but I don't know. We don't expect Esau. Think about Esau for a minute. Esau traded his blessing, his birthright, his inheritance for a bowl of soup. I hope that was good soup. My wife loves to make soup, and I'm in awe of her culinary delights in a pot of soup. Just improvising and seeing what's in the pantry, what's in the refrigerator, and working magic with it. But you know, I've never had one of her bowls of soup that I would trade everything for. Esau did. But these are the faithful. Some that surprise us being in there, some that don't, some that are obvious. These are the faithful that are out of every tribe and nation and tongue. And they surround us. Now, what do you think that they see? How often do you think that they actually get to dial in and tune in and see what's going on in your life and in my life? I've often wondered that about my dad, who I haven't seen him. Last time I saw him alive, I was 13 years old in 1962, and he kissed me goodnight on my forehead the same way he had every night of my life. And the next morning, before I saw him again, he was dead of a heart attack. He walked with the Lord. I know I can sense him praying for me sometimes. I have an idea that sometimes he gets to look in on me. I don't think that they get to watch us make idiots of ourselves and disappoint the Lord all the time. I don't think that it's a 24/7 vigil that they do on us. I hope not. But I had a wonderful exchange with Bob Weber in this room one morning quite a number of years ago. I was sharing a story about my dad, and I have a lot of them, even though I only knew him for 13 years. I watched him receive Christ. I was 4 years old, 1953. I watched his life transformed. I watched him just so excited, devouring the scriptures, and I watched him lead others into a knowledge of Christ. I watched him love us and show us the light of Christ. And I was telling a story about my dad in this room one morning, and chapel was over, and Bob Weber and I were debriefing for a few minutes, as we often did right after chapel. Jim and I do that sometimes these days, various ones of us. And I was kind of broke down and was shedding some tears, and I said, you know, I wish my dad could have been here this morning. I'd love for him to have gotten to hear the story about how he impacted my life. And Bob said, he was, Daryl. He was here. When Jim Hart's mother passed away, heartbroken, devastated, I'm fortunate still to have my mom at 86. I can't imagine what it's going to be like whenever she passes away. Sweet, wonderful, godly woman. But Jim was talking to Bob Stamps, who had been chaplain at Oral Roberts University when he attended there. And Bob said, just remember, Jim, every time you gather for Eucharist at the Lord's table, she'll be right across the table from you in the communion of saints. And I believe that they are. She'll be right across the table from you. I do believe that we are surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, this communion of the saints. I do believe they pray for us and cheer us on. And it's all part of this renewed cosmic picture I think the Lord wants us to get. How everything that he's made is so teeming with life, we can't even imagine. It's a grand and glorious thing. It's alive. We are made alive in him. And once alive in him, we will never die.